Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba.
And we have with us here Philip David. Thanks again for joining us today, Philip.
Pleasure.
First time we've had a guest on talking about 1031 exchanges, and we're learning a lot today.
Yes.
So really, really appreciate your taking the time to join us.
Absolutely.
So these are great programs, a way to avoid paying taxes or delay paying taxes on the exchange of any real estate investment. So it has to be investment. You can't use this for your principal residence. That's a whole different tax code, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what's a typical 1031 exchange transaction cost?
Well, for someone to do a forward exchange, I'm going to give you a range because there's a lot of prices all over the marketplace. But you should typically expect to pay to do an exchange where you sell one property and acquire a new property to pay around $800 for both legs. I mean, total of $800.
That's it?
That's it. And some exchange companies will charge a little more if it's more expensive, but I do flat rates. It's $850 in my case for selling one property and acquiring another property, and I'm not concerned about how much either property costs.
For crying out loud. So and just let's put that into perspective, because if I sell an investment property, buy one without doing an exchange, let's say it's a $500,000 property. You know, potentially, I could be looking at tens of thousands of dollars in taxes paid.
You know, I look at a typical person that has owned an investment property for 10 years in the Seattle area. I would venture to say, if you got a $400,000 to $500,000 house, that your tax bite after owning it for 10 years will be in excess of $40,000.
Yeah.
You run that by your CPA, it could easily be $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is when you do an exchange, you're going to pay, in my case, $850 to sell one, acquire another one, and you're going to have deferred, and as I said earlier in the show, getting an interest-free loan from Uncle Sam for that amount of money for as long as you own that next piece of property.
Or even if you do another exchange later on, you can continue rolling through on these things you choose.
And, you know, it's been around in the tax code. People have been doing exchanges since the dawn of income tax in this country. So there have been exchanges going on for 90 years.
Excellent.
And it's been much more structured in the last 30 years. But the point is it's something that the country has seen a need for and has kept it alive in spite of many, many times where there's been attempts to do away with it, because people immediately think of it, if you do away with 1031s, then you don't have these tax deferments, you get more revenue into the government. But they seem to always come back to the economic engines that come out of the turnover of real estate, and so they've kept it in the code. And I suspect it will stay in the code.
Well, as you mentioned, this is something that's absolutely critical for businesses. So as those businesses grow and develop, I mean, that it would stymie our growth if we had to have people doing all of that. So I think many people look very short-sightedly when they're trying to get rid of these types of things.
And it will reduce the number of transactions because people will hold on to properties that they would like to sell.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
And a lot of times we see folks looking at exchanging a property when the property's become fully depreciated. Is that something that you see typically?
Well, that drives it, because at that point they're no longer getting the tax advantages of depreciation. Of course, they would like to be able to depreciate, but in that case they would have to buy something more expensive. Because if they bought at the same level across an $800,000 property for another $800,000 property, they'd have no new equity to depreciate.
Got it. So you can only depreciate the increased amount of equity that you're acquiring.
If you're coming out of a fully depreciated property.
Right.
Right.
All
and
the
for
more
our
reason
listeners,
to buy more than one.
Typical depreciation it's 27 and a half years.
27.5, yes.
Right. So If you didn't hear over the two of us, 27.5 years, since we both said it sort of at the same time. But, and that's the thing about the client that we are working with right now. I'm still surprised that he hasn't done something a little bit different about his situation, because we've tried to get him more engaged with his exchange facilitator, because he's owned that property since the 90s. And he probably is at the tail end of his depreciation schedule. Right. So we're kind of like, are you really paying attention to what's going on with your property over here? Because really, you might want to be considering splitting that into a couple of places, taking on some new debt, and then, you know, you'd still get good cash flow because of the amount of equity position you would have. So I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Reba, speaking of debt, and one thing that, clients, future exchangers need to understand, if they have a property that's current value is $500,000 and they have $200,000 of debt in it, mm-hmm. they basically have to buy flat across at $500,000 and either replace that debt or add mm-hmm. new money to the exchange.
Right.
A lot of people have the misconception that they just need to reinvest the equity, meaning what they get after mm-hmm. at closing. But that's not the case. If you want to fully defer your taxes, you got to go the same level or
higher. So let's explain that again. So if I sell a home for $500 and I owe $200 on it, I have $300,000 in equity. So let's just sort of rough numbers. So what you're saying is if I buy exchange into a new home, I really need to buy one for at least $500,000 and also take out a loan for $200,000.
Correct.
To maintain that. I can't just buy something for $300,000, which is the equity I'm pulling out of the old property.
You can, and then what you mentioned BOOT before, and mm-hmm. in that case, if you got $300,000 in cash out of your sale and you got $200,000 of debt paid off and you bought something for $300,000, IRS would look at you and say, you have received what's called debt BOOT.
Yes.
And that $200,000 would be taxable. And you'll go, well, how can it be taxable? I don't even have it.
Right.
But mm-hmm. but it will be taxable, and it will be treated as gain and depreciation recapture. And so you could have a sizable tax on that money that you didn't
on
get.
On that difference. And the same is true, because I get this question as well. Okay, well, I want to do an exchange, but I want to keep $50,000 in my pocket mm-hmm. and not transfer that over.
And that is perfectly okay. What we do is you structure it, and you have it come out either at the beginning of the exchange or it comes out at the end of the exchange. In fact, the one we hustled through on over
yes.
the Christmas was exactly like that, where there's certain money was left over. They're going to get that. They get it refunded at the end of the exchange, and then that becomes taxable BOOT.
Okay.
And they can look at paying 25 to 30% of that as taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
25 to 30? Isn't capital gains significantly lower than that?
Well, capital gains is 23% nowadays for people
okay.
who are in the upper income bracket. And then and
but
then
not everybody who has rental property is considered upper income bracket, though.
That's true. So a capital gain is 15% and depreciation recapture mm-hmm. is 25%, and upper income brackets capital gains is 20%.
Okay. So it can vary. So you really, really, really need to be talking to your CPA. If you're going to be doing something like this, you really have to look at your personal situation and have a good person on your side who can evaluate this.
Right.
Because that was the thing. This one of our clients, he went and talked to his cousin, the CPA, and I'm like, I don't think that went well.
Is his name, is his name Block?
It's actually really a cousin. But seriously, I mean, I'm looking at this customer going, are you sure you got the right advice? Because I tried to turn him over to my CPA, who does understand these things very extensively, mm-hmm. and I thought, I hope this is going to go okay. So that same customer he's all cash, right? He's getting, you know, he has no debt on his property, mm-hmm. and he's going to be buying a place. So part of the question that I had that I keep trying to ask him, and again, going back to even, you know, like, hey, talk to your CPA. I need to find out and get confirmation on this. Be talking to your exchange people. Can his funds go towards closing costs too? Because we're looking at the price points of houses he's going to buy to replace, and it's like some of them are just below that $402,000 he's going to get. It's like, well, do I need to count in closing costs or not?
Normally, on closing, on the buy mm-hmm. buy side, the escrow fees and things mm-hmm. like that, and the exchange fees are all deducted. They don't have to be included in the amount you reinvest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Yes and no. You have to look at the eaches.
Okay, so you got to talk to some people about this. Okay, well, we want to thank everyone who's been listening today to Open House with Team Reba, and we definitely want to thank Mr. Philip David from Benash Real Property Exchanges for being with
us. Thank you, Reba. It's been fun.
Yes, we'll be back next Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/Max Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Tuesday at 3 for more Open House with Team Reba here on Business Radio 1300 KKOL. Program sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.